Okay. What's going on, people? I'm Jada Black. Shout out to everybody that's tuning in. Back with another podcast. We're going to talk about this weird show on Netflix called Cuties. And speaking of cuties, co-hosting the show with me today is Afro Selena. Y'all heard her before, and she's with me now, okay? What's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey, you know, it's Afro Selena. Thank you for having me back.
It's no problem.
Once again?
Yeah, once again. No problem. All right. Man.
I wanna hear your opinion at Cuties.
Yeah.
Debacle. What's up with that?
Yeah, I definitely have an opinion on this because I feel like you got the media who's they are upset that Netflix is apologizing for it. And they're upset that people would be mad at the sexualization of young girls, even though they like to vilify the R. Kellys of the world and other men who may or may not have dealt with underage girls. But they're defending this show, mm-hmm. which is just shows the hypocrisy, you know, the blatant hypocrisy. So,
okay.
So you want me to give my take first, or you want to speak on it first?
You go ahead.
All right. This is what I have to say to this, man. After looking at these articles, it looks to me that they're okay with the sexualization of young girls as long as it fits their narrative of sexualizing women, especially westernized women. And then you have mm-hmm. them getting, they're getting mad at people for signing a petition against this show that is, it's a French show that is helmed and I believe created by a melanated female from Senegal, and they are defending it because it fits their narrative of sexualizing young girls. But then they will then call men pedos who deal with underage girls, and they will try to vilify those men. So I'm confused. You're sexualizing these girls. Do you think these girls that you're sexualizing in society are not gonna want to deal with older men? You're crazy. Because they're going to want the attention of those guys.
I feel like girls have always been kind of taught to like older men. And I feel like now it's kind of weird because we're in a place where now we're teaching our daughters, you know, hey, try to be more. I mean, at least me or anybody mm-hmm. that's kind of like me, we would be raising our daughters to be like, hey, this is not the way to dress if you want to track this and that. But yeah. Right now in society, people have been really comfortable mm-hmm. with it, and I feel like it's just kind of making it more comfortable now for, you know, a younger girl to pursue adult stuff. And with adult stuff comes, you know, adult relationships. And, you know, I don't know who's supporting this kind of stuff. I know I wouldn't.
So. Right. Netflix, and that's the thing, like, it wasn't really the show. It was the marketing, like the posters they were putting up of these young girls. It's like they're putting
the booty shorts and they're kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, and their poses, the way that they're posing. You know, it's like you, it's almost like they are extras in a Cardi B video. That's how they want it to be. That's why they're defending Cardi B so hard. It's like they're defending the adult, you know, thottish behavior, and they want to pass it on to the young girls. Not just yeah. young girls in their 20s or late teens. They're talking about preteens. These are girls that barely out of middle school.
Yeah, but it's been going on for a while. I want to understand where did the disconnect come from. Like, what happened to where we got so comfortable, and I think it's a little bit of the yes, I do. It's part feminism, but I also believe it's part toxic masculinity, and I do believe there's feminism that's toxic, and I believe that there's feminism that's healthy, just like there's masculinity that's healthy. But I feel like it's kind of a combination of the two. It's wanting to be what a man. With this, at least the media is telling us men want, and then also trying to be like feminine and strong and empowered. And it's kind of coming off a little bit too, pedophilic.
Definitely, you think? And they're defending it because they want it. It wouldn't surprise me at all if there are people behind the scenes of these networks that actually want to normalize it. That's why they asked Trump. They asked Trump a question at his press conference, right? Like, they said that they're saying people are saying that you're working with Q to arrest all the pedophiles. And is that true? Are you trying to save the world from pedophiles? He's like, I don't know why that's considered a bad thing. And it's like these people really believe this? Like, would you around your children around weirdos? Like, seriously.
I think, like I said, I really believe that we've come to a point where we've been so of things that have been hidden, you know, under the rug. A lot of things have been brushed under the rug. And I was having a conversation about this the other day. I was like, you know, I grew up with a mom who was comfortable with me having a boyfriend that was 21 when I was 13. The way my culture is, like, at least back home, girls were 12, already married with a 24-year-old, have a baby. They already, like, living, cook, clean. You know, like a mom doing her rollers, like, you know, going grocery shopping. She was doing very adult stuff when they were extremely young. So I think that it's a little bit of mixed beliefs, mixed cultures, mixed, like, and then the desire for money. So it also now add ignorance and money together, because ignorance is just you not understanding that over-sexualizing your children or allowing your children to get into sexual adult relationships actually damages them. And hopefully they could get repair for it. But it's a slippery slope. And I think it's just that. The combination of money, the love for money, and the love for pleasing everybody else instead of the natural... what's it called? Oh, it's like saying the natural stages or like the natural way of life.
I'm not gonna say it isn't. Like, I know that there are girls who are preteens that are dating guys at over age 18. I see girls, man, 13, 14, they look physically like 19, 20 year olds, you know, and that stuff goes on. Like, my sister talked about how when she was in middle school, and the girl that she knew, I think the girl was like maybe 14, she was dating a guy who was in his like 30s, and he would come and pick her up from school. You know what I'm saying? And I believe drop her out. Like, they knew that stuff was going on.
I had a boyfriend who was, so I met him when I was 14, and he was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. He was 22, and we dated for 5 years. We dated for 5 years until I was 19 years old. And I didn't realize there was something wrong until I was older. That's when I realized, but see, we also have to address that we're not teaching our sons, and people are not teaching their sons what is appropriate. Hey, bro, you're 18 years old. You should not be looking at this 15, bro. You shouldn't. You should be talking to Katie, who's your same age, not... you know, Lilith, who literally barely could fit herself into the bra. But there's girls now that are 15 who look 38.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
There are chicks that are 15 who look 38 who look older than me.
Yeah.
Okay?
When I was in high school, man, them girls looked like grown women. They looked like grown women, man.
But a lot of the time is because, you know, it's not just the girls. Girls are being told, you need a man that provides and takes care of you. We're not going to be looking at no kid that's our same age. When we think about provider and takes care of us, we're thinking about someone like a father figure. So you're going to be picking dudes that are 20, that are 19, older, because they have a car, they have a job, they have all these things. This is what we're being taught. But a young boy is being being told get a younger, beautiful, the younger, beautiful well, looks, well, the better.
Let me just say this real quick. You said that these young boys need to be taught differently, right? A lot of times they grow up, a lot, especially black young black boys, they're growing up without fathers. So they're there with their mothers. So what are their mothers teaching mm-hmm. them? Because if the father isn't there, because the father isn't going to be like, get you a younger. I don't think a lot of fathers are saying anything. That.
It's my. I don't think men or women are telling their sons how to handle these kind of situations. I think it's very far rare in between when men and women are having conversations with their sons about appropriate ages, relationships, and sex. I mean, just look at T.I. He's so comfortable with his son smoking weed in a tub mm-hmm. and talking about sleeping around. But he's not saying anything to... He didn't say anything, you know...
How old is his son? But which one? Is the younger one or just the one that's a little bit older?
The one with the little redheaded fro who's like very,
okay.
very...
Okay, well, how old is he now?
I think he's like... 17, maybe.
Okay.
But before then, he had already, by the time he was 14, 13, telling his dad that he was having sexual relations. Mm. And T.I. was extremely comfortable in his son, right. clapping it up like, yeah, bro. But then when it came to the daughters, mm-hmm. even this stepdaughter, he was like, y'all can't do anything. And which is fine for me because mm-hmm. I have some of those similar beliefs out.
Right.
But you have to be fair because if you don't want your daughters to be in that position, you can't be raising your son to become those guys.
Let me play the devil's advocate on that. Like, I understand what you're saying because we as men, we will view our sons differently because a lot of times we as men, we can control whether we are out here having kids with chicks. Like, but there are women, if she get pregnant, her family is going to be going to have to carry the burden of it, either it be the cost financially or raising, because a lot of times she's going to have custody of that kid. And
what do you mean control more or less the, like, what does that mean?
Like, what are you saying?
Because you said something of like, you know, men could control, you know, like the birthing.
Well, no, what I mean is like men can be young boys. These young boys are not promiscuous, but they are a lot out here sleeping around with girls. Right. If they're wearing a condom every time, they're not going to get no chick pregnant. Is what I'm saying. And if they're practicing safe sex, you know, as if they're practicing safe sex and. And again, I'm playing the devil's advocate. Come on, man. And a lot of men who have sons, they are more comfortable with the decision making of their sons than their daughters. Because your daughter can get caught up with a guy who can just treat her like shit, beating on her, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of fathers are going to be more attentive. Even mothers, too, are going to be more attentive to their daughters because of that.
What fathers are you talking about? You're telling me that there's no fathers in the pictures to begin with. And now you want to say that
you brought up T.I. Hold on. You brought up T.I.? You brought him up, not me. I was just
speaking of in the sense of, you know, how the fathers that are in the picture, they're uh-huh. not really teaching their stuff about sex the way they teach, because at the end of the day, both men and women could catch the same type of disease.
Right.
Period. It doesn't matter if he's a boy or a girl, or if he was born with both genders.
Right.
If he catches it, it doesn't matter. So we need to teach our children how to have. But the second thing is age appropriation for sex, and I don't think we're having these conversations with.
I don't think we ever will, because again, I'm speaking from somebody in a black community where there's not a lot of fathers in the home like that in certain communities. You know what I'm saying? These mothers are not going to talk to their sons that way because these women baby their sons. So of course you're not going to have those conversations.
I definitely believe in talking to your children, especially your sons, about how to handle those things. And if the women are not doing it in your community, in the Black community, that's on them. But I know that there are people out there that will never, ever, ever let this slide because A, they know the responsibilities that come with, you know, having these minors, having your kids' kids, you know? And all the problems that can come out of it. Your son could go to jail too, all type of stuff. But then again, a lot of dudes ain't going to jail for this. A lot of guys have been in relationships with minors their whole life and been able to get away with
this. And guess who? And guess who's protecting them? Guess who's protecting them, huh?
Exactly. So as secret as well as they keep this a secret, I think that a lot of women don't want to be honest about the financial gain or whatever they get from daughters go off with older men.
Well, let me
get the freedom with the boyfriend. They get the freedom to do what they want, and then they let their daughters get with these older men, thinking, "Oh, these older men are going to take care of my daughter because that's what older men do." And then she comes back with a kid.
Well, let me ask you this. Speaking from your experience, you know, being a parent, right? Mm-hmm. Would you be, in raising your kids, let's say you have a son and a daughter, would you be more comfortable with the decision making of your son or your daughter when it comes to who they choose to be with? Like, you like, okay, I'm not going to have to worry about them as much as the other.
Neither. I would be uncomfortable for both. Like, I would not be comfortable with either. And I think it's because I've seen enough of the damage is done to males in this society.
Yeah.
To not their shit under control. You know, when I speak to my son about women, when I speak about sex, I tell him, you need to prioritize your success and your, basically, like, your intellect. You need to prioritize all these other things. You have a woman and you end up hooking up with her, that's fine. Just know that you have your own money, your own car, and your own place that you could take her to. My son already has a little part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
He works.
Okay.
He learns about finances, how to stock trade, all these things. So then by the time he's 18, he wants to pork a girl. He could pork her in his own.
Right, he has his own thing. That's and what I would tell. Yeah, I would tell my son that,
if
man.
He wants to be with a girl who's a minor. What?
Yeah, no, I was saying, I would tell my sons, if you want to go out there in these streets and mess around with these chicks, make sure you have all your own stuff. Don't come back asking me for nothing, no help. You deal with it on your own. Mm-hmm. You know.
And so when let's say he meets a girl who's much younger, he's like 18 and she's 15, I would advise him to wait until she's at least 17. That's what I would advise him. Now for my daughter, I don't have a daughter, but if I had a daughter, I would say this: prioritize your success and your intellect, and when you are willing to take the physical risk, and these are the risks of having a child. Like, I'll put it all out there for her. These are all the physical, like, out risks, and these are all the inside risks. And this is what can also happen to your relationship when a baby is in the pick and you haven't picked the right cat.
Right.
Run her down, all that stuff. And if that still isn't enough, nothing I can do. But what? She's not going to be in a position where she's going to be in relationships with men that are not going to value her. That's just not it. And I think we don't teach our daughters value. That's the thing. Nobody taught me about that.
Well,
no one
all
talked about that.
They're learning femininity from these Cardi B's and Meg Thee Stallions of the world, and they're apologists. You know, that's why people speaking out against them.
I thank God that I'm the type of person that I take the time to, I can literally listen to my silent voice, that voice inside. Uh-huh. I try my best listen. And right. The only way I learned about what wasn't working, you know, as far as like relationships and sex and all that stuff, was me actually seeing the results. Okay, I'm doing this and this and this. This is working. And I tried something new. Mm-hmm. But the last generation wasn't like that. The last generation was like, I'm going to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again until I get it right. And it's like, and it's not their fault. People.
Now
it's like cavemen. We're all evolving as time goes. We're starting to realize what really affects us, you know, mentally and emotionally and physically. Mm-hmm. But I'll be on the ass, okay?
that's how you have to be. That's how you have to be, man, because you can't allow social media to raise your kids. We got too much of that going on with TikTok and a lot of these girls want to be like their favorite Instagram models or female rappers. They say, oh, if they can do it, they can, you know, they can do it. They aspire to do that. And they're starting out at young ages, man.
I remember a time I was really into rap music. I actually freestyle stuff. So the way I would rap was very, you know, all over the place. They could go from, you know, something like Megan Thee Stallion all the way to like Eve and, you know, how Vida and all that. All those type of styles. But then as I aged, I was like, this isn't feeding my soul or anybody else's soul. Like, it's okay if you have balance and you talk about sex, but can't the 13 songs on your album, can the out of the 13 just two be about sex? That'd be great. Like, well, that's every- what I asked for, because it's gotten to a point where music turns me off. It talks so sex, I don't even want that motherfucker. Yeah. I don't even want the sex.
It used to just be the R&B. Now it's the rap music. You know?
Yeah, R&B. But R&B is going down that slope too. R&B is going down that slippery slope where I'm just like, is this romantic or is this BDSM?
It's close to it.
What are we doing here? Am I going to get this?
If people are overly sexed and they like listening to that, the overly sexed music. It's, you know, and it's not doing us any good. We're in a bad spot. And the one thing that's really bothered me is the fact that people are they are defending it and the right of the sexualization of young girls. Then they have a problem when these young girls end up with one of these older men. And it's like, well, you're okay with how they're acting. Do you think these girls are just going to act like this and not want to test the waters with guys that they see on social media or even in real life? Like, come on.
Absolutely. When I grew up, they would tell me and my cousins, hey, why don't you guys go to the Boulevard, which is like a part of DR where a lot of the Europeans and the people that come from, you know, different countries would be there. And a lot of them would, you know, traffic young girls. They would just... And in their head, they're just like, oh, they're going to give you a good life. There's going to be a good man somewhere there. They're not even thinking. They're just thinking about survival and what they can do out of desperation. It's that bad. Mm-hmm. And like the sexualization and this, I think the sexualization comes really from the ignorance and the underdeveloped minds of both men and women. They just don't understand sex as well as they do. Just because you have sex, you had a baby, doesn't mean you understand sex and what it can do. Like, it has the power of life and period.
That's why it's important, I believe, for both parents of children to be in their life and to really instill values. But those parents have to have values themselves. And some of them don't. So they don't know what to teach. So they just go for what they know. You know, they just go for what they know. They don't have anything to teach and to pass on. So it's like, okay, why are you having kids? There's nothing. You can't even pass on money. You can't pass on any knowledge. The things that can help them develop into strong-minded people. Because we're lacking strong-minded people in society. We have a lot of weak-minded people. I see it every single day. You say one thing, somebody doesn't like, they're offended. It's a very weak-minded society. And I think a lot of over the years of programming has turned people into empty shells who will soak in any negative information as if it's good. Like they're just lost. It's a lost people and they're following other lost people. And it opens the door to depravity.
Subject. This sounds crazy, but I just thought about Halle Berry, and I saw something that you might have dropped. I saw that you might have dropped the video.
Yeah, I did right after you had messaged me. I had posted a video right before that.
I really want to know what is it. What did Halle Berry do to you, baby? Just tell me. Did she say she don't like you?
Who, me?
What happened? She ain't text
who,
back.
Me?
Why you treat her like that?
Well, one thing she's all about believing all women, which is a joke. But two, no, it just was me just having deep commentary on these older women, especially in Hollywood, who are out here still looking for validation through social media, through the things that they're posting, when they just can't keep a man. And it's fascinating to me when you have somebody who's been known for their looks their entire careers get to the point to where they want to be like just like everybody else on social media. You know, I think that's fascinating.
I had a conversation about Halle Berry. And what I really think, this is what I really think about Halle Berry. And this is what just me intuitively feels this. I could be wrong, but Halle Berry's 54 and mm-hmm. she grew up in a different time than me and you. Even though it's like maybe like 20 years difference or something of that effect, you know, she grew up in a different time. And in those days, women and what they went through, they had to really keep it secret to another level because it was just too much to just put out there. And who knows what happened to Halle Berry when she was younger. And she can't be accountable. She needs to be accountable for her actions and how she acts.
Yeah, I said it before. Like I talked about how a lot of these girls come from a lot of very bad upbringings and explains a lot of their sexual promiscuity and their connections with men or lack thereof. So I have spoken on that before. And in my video, I wasn't going in on her. It was just me just having a conversation on women her age and today's dating market, so to speak. And perception.
But okay, let me finish the thought. So like, I think that she went through life, then she became, you know, the successful person. She never was able to cope with not only being a black white woman, probably going through physical, emotional, sexual abuse, then obviously getting diabetes and then being kind of crazy. Because when you're diabetic, you're kind of like, sometimes you could be a little, you know, not feel good a lot, you know, but she takes care of herself. She dates all these guys. These guys all cheat on her and do all this other stuff. And perhaps she did. She chose bad men, but I feel like she chose men that she felt fit her because of her, you know, her celebrity and her status. And when women, you know, women from the 70s and, you know, 80s, we were more, people influenced us more on who to choose, who to talk to. You know, how to dress, what to say. It was a huge influence, you know? And I think that as she got older, she basically didn't have those influences no more. And then she was going by what she was feeling, like, you know, a direction in her life with these, you know, how she was like living her life. And I think that she just gave herself the time to really think about love and what she experienced, like deeper. I think she's a very surface leveled person, and that doesn't make her a bad person. It just makes her just kind of surface level. That's all. And people that are that way, they end up in really like shitty relationships. There's just people that are not that deep, and I think she's one of them. Does that make sense? I think that she is a cold blooded animal. She is influenced.
I think she represents the type of women, like you say, from the 80s and 90s up until now, who are very surface level. You can tell with their politics, what they believe in, how they interact with people. You can tell there's not much there. And that is just too prevalent. you know, but these people could also take the time to understand and have some self-reflection. They never do that. It's always somebody else's fault, you know.
I mean, but I mean, and I don't know if this is the right way to say I want to play devil's advocate, because I've never used that phrase before in my life.
That was my first time ever using that phrase. Okay.
Okay. I think living is scary, and that's just me coming from, like, I'm kind of emo. I'm a little bit of an emo kind of chick.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I think living is scary. When you add all this other stuff that you experience and have to do, I think it's really easy to just say, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going on autopilot. I really do think so. I think that I just have the, and there's people that just have the strength or just have that curiosity that they could push through that surface level stuff and go in deep. But there's people that just don't. Could you imagine going really that deep? I don't know. I don't know if you could really handle that. Like, I just feel like there's some people that, listen, I have a friend of mine that when he has a deep conversation, it only lasts about 28 minutes. Anything longer than that, he will literally faint. Like, he will have to pass out and sleep for like 6 hours because the conversation was too damn deep with anybody. I swear, I'm not even joking. I wish there's people like that. There's people that do not have an inner voice that are like, you have an inner voice, you're psycho. And I'm like, no, I really have one. They're like, I've never heard an inner voice. And I'm just like, wow. It be like that. That's what makes the world go around.
Yeah. It's because
all of us make the world go around.
Yeah, absolutely. We all play our part in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. That's why I always, whenever I speak on certain things, because I'm a reflective person. I've always was a thinker. And I think that's helped me a lot. I've been irrational at times before. But I think that a lot of times people don't want to be deep thinkers because they don't want to go back to the issue that they had before. And because they know those situations may affect them physically in a way that they may not be able to handle. So they like to bottle things up. Or they just don't have the knowledge. A lot of people just don't want knowledge. They don't want to seek it. They think it's boring.
I feel like some people, I think that some people were just not born with these tools, like these built-in tools. Some people are just not built with it. Like, do you know how there's people that are psychopaths and they're like, you know, that try to mentalize so many different things? Yeah. There's people like me and you that could the self-reflection. There's others that they're just, they break things first and then ask questions later.
Like, yeah. Like, cause more damage to themselves in the long run. You know, they just don't.
But that has nothing to do with me. That has nothing to do with me. And that's why it's my job that if I don't want to follow in steps or I don't want to follow in Halle Berry's footsteps, is that, you know, and people obviously like me and you that think, I'm not going to repeat the things she does. But if I'm not a thinker, I'm not a self-reflector, and you go to a billion therapy sessions, I'm like, dude, this shit is not working.
Right.
That means you got something in there that just don't connect, or you haven't found the right inspiration to help you change.
Sometimes it takes the right person.
And you know, when you're Hollywood,
it takes the right person.
So yeah, the right dude. What if she does get with somebody in a couple, you know, months? Maybe she get, or in a couple years. Maybe she finds somebody when she's 67. But my homegirl found somebody at 89.
Really?
They're married now. It's
really?
Yeah. My homegirl. Yes. I have a friend who's 89. She's a Mexican lady. She looks Native American. Very cute lady. And she says, I like to dance. I like to party. And she had 6 kids. Two baby daddies. Okay. And the last boyfriend she dumped like 3 years ago. She was like, yo, I don't like him because every time we have sex, he screams. I don't want no dude like that. And I was like, I feel you, girl. I know how. She ended up breaking up with him. And then, like, a year later, she finds this guy. And 6 months into the relationship, they get married. He bought her, like, 2 cribs. She has a brand new BMW. Like, she's happy. And this dude is 7 years younger than her.
Wow.
I know, right?
That's that youthful spirit and energy, man. Some older people have, man. Because I know people that... I know this older guy, right, man. He smokes, he drinks, and he goes on these daily walks, man. It's almost like he's trying to take himself out the world, but, you know, he can't. Like, he's just doing whatever. He takes whatever, does whatever, and just has no regrets about it, even at his old age, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that you can't find somebody at any age, how many baby mamas or baby daddies or whatever. I feel like it's about your personality.
Absolutely.
If you're the kind of person that me and you have a problem and we can't face that problem head on and solve it.
Yeah.
You're just not relationship material. You'll probably break up with yourself faster than you'll break up with me.
Well, I think we gotta. It's all about building a connection. You know how you can make connection with somebody, and you're not necessarily in a relationship with them, or you may not even have thought about that before, and you like.
How do you make a connection? You're so red pill, and I'm kind of. I think I'm a balance. I want to be a person, so mm-hmm. I know what I like and what I don't like, and right. I speak how I feel about. How do you get along with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you get along with me? I want to know. What makes you get along with me?
Right. You know, I just think. Are you asking me a question, or would you?
Yeah, I'm asking you. How do you get along with me?
I think I get along with you well.
Because we're so different.
We are. You know, you have a platform where you're talking about dating Asian guys. You know, I can't get any more different than that, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I just think the fact that even though you speak about those things, you know, you still take the time to really look at what I'm doing and really able to speak to me. And that always intrigues me. Because I'm me. I can't be anybody else. So when I see people,
I don't judge
people. Huh?
I don't judge people.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like through all that I can still speak to you and we can talk and we can get along. And I think I don't know. I you know how you have people who you genuinely when you talk to them, you're like, okay. I don't get bored or I don't tune out or I just don't want to talk to this person. Like, this person is a cool person.
Lies. You tune out. You're lying. I know you tune out. I know you. That laugh is so eerie.
I can't. Listen, man. It's how I am. My laugh has evolved over the years. It was different 5 years ago. But, you know, I just think
I don't
that.
Know, what
if, huh?
It's like if for some reason I just think about you with like an evil hat on and shit, like just like laughing and rubbing your hands
like
Birdman and shit.
I'm a villain, but I'm like an anti-villain, you know.
So, okay, I can see that. I can see that.
I'm an anti-villain, not a hero. I'm not a villain. But no, I'm being real because, like I said, if I talk to you and I'm like. This person doesn't think for themselves, or you know, this person isn't open. You know, let's see, he's talking to him. So that's why I'm able to connect with you in that sense. Maybe it's beyond words. Maybe it's thoughts. You know how people can trade thoughts with each other without saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that.
I don't know. You also kind of look like family of mine, so that could also be sometimes.
Yeah, yo, have yo a connection you told me I like your father, man. That shit had me laughing, man.
You do look like my biological father, yo. It's mad creepy.
Oh man, no, man. I don't think I have any.
You call my man.
I don't think I have any Dominicans in my family, so I don't know. My
you
father's lighter than me. You know, it was crazy. My father, huh? Even though he's black, he could pass for like maybe a Puerto Rican a bit, cause he's lighter than me, but he look about the same.
Well, I mean, you look Indian kind of dude. You look kind of Indian black.
Really?
Yeah. You look kind of mixed, but. I think it's because you have those like almond eyes, like. Yeah. So that's why I was like, yo, this look like family, yo. This is crazy.
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard.
We need to get up. Come to Orlando, okay? And we gotta pump it up when this COVID is over.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely.
That's what we gotta do. We gotta go live on a live podcast.
Yeah, that'll be cool, man. I could cam up with you. People are like, when are you gonna cam up? You know, I cam up in Orlando, Raffles Arena. I've always wanted to visit Orlando. Go to what's it, Disney World? But yeah, the COVID shit got it. They gotta. Allow people to.
Disney World is boring.
It is?
Disney World is boring, yeah.
It is boring. I would think so after all these
years. I went to Disney when I was a kid and I enjoyed it. The only thing about Disney that's fun is like Animal Kingdom and all that stuff. But I think it's best like you to come with like a girlfriend and you enjoy Animal Kingdom with her because it's. At night, Animal Kingdom is hella romantic.
Okay, so, I have to keep that in mind. I think because I'm definitely gonna go by myself. Definitely be looking weird by myself, or you know, with like a bunch of guys. You know, unless it's like teammates or some shit. But definitely, I mean, if I'm going to there, it's definitely be with a young lady, maybe two or three of them. Who knows?
Hey, whatever's clever.
You know, yeah, man.
Don't be falling out here.
Huh?
There's gonna be wilding out here. There's a lot of pretty ladies out here making use of your mind.
I've heard Orlando got some talent. I've heard, man.
Listen. Yeah. Orlando is like that. It's like a pot of just lots of beautiful, because a lot of Brazilians, a lot of Middle Easterns have been here. And so a lot of them has also mixed with, you know, the black and the, you know, the Latinos and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So they're looking like, and a lot of Asians too. So it's looking, the girls over here look, wow. It's insane how beautiful the men and the women are here. Like, it's like, wow. It's a little different. Dangerous though. They party too much.
Yeah, I'm not a party. Here. I mean, you I know, like a good like time. I'm not a partier though. So, you know, I like a good time. I'm not a part. Like, it depends on the situation.
I would say the women in Orlando or in Florida are more down to earth than, you know, let's say the women in Cali.
Okay.
And stuff like that. There's a lot of down to earth girls in Cali, but Florida has more of like, you know, because a lot of them come from islands and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Melting pot. Melting pot, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, you know, where I'm at, it's not as diverse.
And where you're. Oh, what, it's just white or just black?
It's black, white, and you got some Mexicans in there. A lot of Mexicans, but they in the outskirts. You only see them when you go to the mall.
So you don't be dating girls? Or you do date girls in your city, right?
Yeah, off and on. Off and on, but not recently, but off and on.
From all area codes, like...
Well, I mean, it could... It's my different area codes. It's crazy. Listen, there have been out-of-state situations. One time, there could have been an out-of-the-country situation. But, you know, I'm like, man, fuck that. But there have been out-of-state situations. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is.
You know, I really want you to understand, out-of-the-country situations are just like in the country situations, only things can get more complicated, like as far as... Like, if you want to solidify it, but I already know you don't want to get married. So, I mean, for you, it's kind of like you go in and you go out. That's it. You're in and out.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, ultimately, being in a relationship is something that I'm open to. But it has to be with somebody that understands me. Because sometimes you get with somebody and you don't understand each other. And that's what the quarantine has done, is expose the fact that people don't understand each other. And they're around each other more. Mm-hmm. So as long as a person understands me, like I'm not the one to get with somebody and be having about five or six side chicks. I don't have enough energy and time for that. I'm trying to make money out here, make moves. So Now at 31, if I just have one girlfriend for a long haul, that's fine with me, because that's somebody that understands me, somebody that I can rock with, somebody long term. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not out here gonna be out here searching and looking. You know, I used to be that way. I was one of these aggressive motherfuckers. I'm looking, trying to find.
Are you the type of guy that yo, what's up, shorty? You look good, and she's like, okay, like she just looks away. Like, you
look and smile and look down, and yeah. They're in your presence. They're like, they're in your presence, and they're totally. You can feel the submissive energy in that moment.
You sound like such a baby. Oh my god. I literally can't with you, like, submissive. Like, I get it. I understand the whole submissive thing. That I get that 100%.
No, I'm just saying, like but, if any guy is listening, like, have you ever, like, I wouldn't say walk, but you ever met a girl, she looked at you, she smiled, and you can just feel that she just wants you to win her over in that moment?
Yes.
She's not defensive. She's sort of like waiting for you to catch her while she's falling.
I've used that little smile. I've used that little smile, that hee-hee, and the looking down with the eyelashes and whatever.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm a Leo, so I don't know how. I think I'm like I said, I'm balanced. I'm submissive when I have to be. But for the most part, I'm very driven, and it's really came because of poverty, because I was very, very poor.
Right.
So to be a very driven person to take care of myself. And, you know, it's sad to me when people, you know, like to point out how masculine, women that look like myself are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand. A lot of us came from poverty, and we, like, I was really poor. Like, I couldn't just flush the
people say that you're masculine. People say that you're masculine.
I've had guys tell me, too driven, or you're too,
too
masculine.
Ambitious.
I've had relationships end because of my ambition. And I tell you this, and I wasn't competing. I'm not the kind of person that likes to compete with my partner. Mm. If anything, I don't even like to talk about work. I did at work with my partner unless I'm being asked. I don't like to talk about my accolades, my medals, nothing, unless I am being asked. Mm. But I felt like they were insecure. But how I grew up, it was like, you know, I had to walk with the barrel over my head all the way to my house. And that was like 50 pounds. Mm. And then I had to, like, you know, flush the toilet with a little bucket of water and showering cold water. And then I had to walk down the street, like, and get a live chicken or a live pig and kill it with my own bare hand. And it is, so it's like, it's not that I'm masculine. It's that poverty.
Yeah, it's where you come. It's like your roots.
Sometimes to be extremely ripped.
When you tell that story, I think people should be able to understand, like, why you're, you know, it's not like a situation where you're just trying to compete with men. It's like you're trying to do what's in the best, the best way to put yourself in a good position to be successful. So I wouldn't have an issue with that, especially after hearing that.
I mean, that, and because I'm easy on the eye.
Of course. Eye, so to speak. Of course.
But I'm sure if I look like, you know, Rasbusha and, you know, my fingernails were dusty.
You know what's crazy? You'd even be like, even those women think they should get a high valued man.
Oh God, we're not gonna get into that.
Yeah, that's another conversation. That's another conversation, man.
I do believe that if you get what you ask for, and what you work for. So if you worked hard to get a high valued man, and that means not just, you know, on the money and the education aspect, but on the heart and the emotional aspect, all these things, and all the things are meeting the criteria, then you deserve what you're asking for. But you can't be Rasbusha saying you want a guy like Shamar Moore. It's a little crazy. Unless Shamar Moore wants you, then love is love.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? They think they can do it, okay? In their minds, they think they can do it.
I'd rather them think that they can do it than then go and deep dive in depression because they feel like they never can. Yeah. You know, like it can get worse.
Yeah, can. It could be worse, my friend. You can be a femcel. You could be a femcel instead of an incel. Well,
these girls that feel like they take their chance, damn. Mm-hmm.
I honestly though, man, all these thirsty men out here, ain't no way you it should be a femcel. Ain't no way.
100%.
I mean, there's too much thirst out here from these guys, man. A lot of thirsty males out here. A lot of these guys willing to risk it all, pay bills, do whatever it takes to get some of these women, man. It's crazy. But, you know, Avril Selena, that's pretty much it for this episode, okay? I don't want to get too long. And I know you're a busy woman, right? So, I appreciate you being here, all right? And thank you to everybody that's going to listen to this. Make sure that you can, I think you send voice messages. Also, you can hit me up in email or in the comment section. If y'all want to see me do this live, y'all can let me know. I'll probably put up a poll or something, or I ask y'all next live stream. Should we do this live or premiere one of these on the channel? Y'all let me know, okay? And I guess I'll see y'all in the next one. All right.